on the set.
Okay, let's talk about your dad issues.
We already went there.
Enemies to Lovers.
Hey, and welcome to Enemies to Lovers, the podcast.
We're Alex and Shay, two college roommates who went from enemies to lovers.
This podcast explores dating, polyamory, and ethical non-monogamy.
We also feature guests that ask us questions and share their stories.
So keep an open mind, please subscribe, and as always,
stay curious.
Enemies to Lovers.
Woo! Let's get into it! So I read something on a polyamory Instagram account the other day. Polyphilia blog,
which is how we reconnected, actually.
That is true.
I didn't even
think about that.
Yes.
And I want to read it to start off this episode. Polyamory is wild. I can be giddy and nervous talking to a new crush and feel at home and covered in warmth by my boyfriend all in the same day. So I'm going to add to that. You can feel heartbroken, be excited about something, and you can feel safe, and you can feel all those feelings about different people at the same time.
And then tragedy.
And that's what this episode is about. Breakup season.
It is breakup season.
Breakup season.
There's a lot of breakups happening right now.
Yeah. We've had quite a few between the two of us.
It was mostly you. But
it was mostly me.
But there were like at least four.
There's so many people with broken hearts.
But you know what? That's why we have a podcast.
Our trauma is the drama.
Amazing.
It's breakup season.
So,
what happened?
Why are we sad? You can go first.
I'm not okay.
Was that a fake sob that morphed into a cackle?
Yeah, so I had three breakups recently. I was dating four different people at the same time earlier this year, and then pretty much within a month and a half, all three of those relationships exploded in on themselves. So that's wonderful.
Podcast God is the shining star that has stayed consistent.
But yeah, I mean, polyam breakups are weird, right? Because first of all, we talked in one of the prior episodes, which one was it? About the levels of what a partner means. The second episode, right? Yeah. In our polyam origin stories episode, we talked about what the levels of how people define partnership is. And so breakups can be different depending on what your relationship was to begin with, right? And how in-depth it was, how long you were together, how often you hung out, how enmeshed in your lives you were.
Well, answer those questions for all three. Let's go.
I would say for Lily, who is going to be on the pod soon.
Shout out to Lily. Thank
we're
you.
We're still really good friends. That's actually something we're probably going to talk about when we chat with her, because that de-escalation, if you want to call it that, of the relationship was really smooth, probably the smoothest it's ever been for me. And I think a large part of that is because it was a queer relationship, because lesbians just can't let go. But yeah, I mean, she's still in my life. We still text a lot. We're hanging out.
They have a group chat that I'm not in.
Shay's
still salty
offended
about this.
But yeah, I mean, I think we're still pretty much as close as we were before. We're just not intimate or romantic anymore.
Would you say that was an easier de-escalation because you guys were less romantic and sexual towards then?
Maybe. I think it's a mixture of that and also just the emotional maturity level and just...
Lily does read a lot of books about polyamory.
She does. She's going to bring a lot of knowledge when we have her on. But the other two partners I had were men. Cis men. Gross.
You're married to one.
I know.
I just want to point out.
I know. But I mean, the other two partners I had, one of them I broke it off with, the other one broke it off with me. And the one that broke it off with me kind of did it in a bitch ass way.
Bitch ass way.
I mean, you saw the text.
I did. It was entertaining from a third party perspective.
It was a scared little boy terrible chickening out type of text, you know?
Okay. Mugshot, say for it. How long were you with both of them?
A few months. It was pretty equal. I was with Safeword a little bit longer, but I just love the nicknames. But I would say Safeword,
we're
knew
creative people,
as a friend for a while before he was making moves the whole time, but eventually the moves worked. And it's different when you start off as a friend, because I think emotionally I was more connected to him, but I was probably really, really physically attracted to the other guy. So
mugshot.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, both relationships didn't end in the most positive way, I would say. Like, it wasn't a big fight or anything, but I hoped that I'd be friends with both of those people afterwards, and neither of them has really made an effort to stay friends with me, which sucks, but, I mean, you can't force people to. So
I would say, like, you weren't close to, like, your metas from those relationships either, right?
Well, I mean, safe words metas I'm, like, friends with. Like, I'm not close to them, but I... You know,
acquaintances, friendly with,
one of them I'm like probably a little closer with, but and then the other one was fully parallel poly, so I had never met any of Mugshot's other partners. I knew they existed.
I think that Mugshot's parallel relationships are the first instance of in real life parallel that I've seen.
Yeah,
because Mugshot was the first example of like parallel poly that I've seen in real life. I feel like everyone I've met who is E&M or poly so far has been like very much a proponent of like kitchen table.
Yeah. And I can't really speak on if it's, you know, ethically better either way. I don't want to be judgmental of that, but it is interesting.
It is.
That for me too, that's the only person so far I've met that's fully parallel poly. None of his partners want to meet his other partners. And I think he thinks that he's very ethical with the way he dates, but I don't think he actually is.
I mean, the fact that he broke up with a text message is and then pretty bad.
Never spoke to me again and
unfollowed you off Instagram. There's a lot of weird shit. Have you reached out to him since?
I texted him twice since the breakup text, and it was just like, hey, I would love to talk and kind of, you know, get some closure or just get more answers on where you were coming from. Nothing.
Enemies to lovers.
Breakups hurt. Regardless of if it's polyam breakups, monogamous breakups, it sucks because you were connected to someone and they're either not in your life anymore or they're in your life in a different capacity now and you have to get used to that. And these are just some of the – I wrote some thoughts down about polyam breakups in general. I'm just going to read through. It's easy to say, hey, I have other partners. I have other things going on in my life. This doesn't matter, and just compartmentalize the pain away. But also that's not feasible in the long term, right? Like eventually you have to process that and feel the feelings and just be not okay for a bit.
I don't know about that. Mugshot really? And Cypher don't seem like they process any emotions.
I'm talking for myself.
Okay, but that's fair.
All I can do is talk from my own perspective. For me, I do kind of take a while to process emotions.
Because you have 5,000 hobbies and they're all
trauma.
Really expensive.
Yeah, ADHD, all the things. But I usually realize weeks later when something has affected me. And it's kind of the same with breakups where I'm fine. I'm doing great. And then weeks later, I'm not. And then I write an angry song about it and I'm okay.
There have been many angry songs written about these two.
Yeah. But they're great songs.
Where's Lily's song?
Lily was too nice. She didn't break my heart enough.
She wasn't mean enough.
So yeah. What's the word I was going to say? Delayed emotional processing. I definitely have that. I don't know if that's an ADHD thing or...
Wow, look at you embracing your ADHD now. I think it's just an immigrant trauma response.
Maybe,
where your parents are like, you're not allowed to be upset.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was not allowed to have emotions growing up.
That's your problem. There you go. You're welcome. Pay me $300 for therapy now.
I mean, side note, when my dad died...
You've brought this up every single episode.
It's important.
Context.
I'm sorry. When my dad, no, seriously though, when my dad died, I was a kid. I was like 10. No conversation was had. I wasn't even told he died. I had to figure it out for myself.
What the?
I was not taken
what?
To the funeral. Yeah. Because they were like, you're a kid.
Is your mom okay? Podcast God says obviously.
But no, I wasn't taken to the funeral. It took me a really long time to forgive my family for that when I grew up because
that's
thought it
was fucked up.
They thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they were protecting me by not having me have to deal with the emotions.
No wonder you don't know how to process.
I don't.
Damn.
It all comes back to my dead dad.
Everything. Every single
fill the hole.
Stern
the
fathers.
Heart.
Stern father.
With strong brows.
That's Alex's ideal type. Is strong fathers with brows.
Yeah.
Safeway didn't really have eyebrows.
Yeah, Safeway just didn't fit any of my types. I don't know what happened there. The Riz. He had
dick.
The Riz.
Yeah. Bruce. You did have bruise. Like slimy bruise.
Yeah. But it worked.
It worked. Moving on.
Oh, one thing I want to mention too is impact versus intent.
You do like impact play.
Oh my god. This is true. But also, I think a lot of times relationships end because people just have different perspectives. They see what they're doing in different ways. The effect isn't always what you think is going to be. And I think that's a lot of times why relationships end, because you just didn't know how to communicate through that. And that's kind of what happened with a lot of my recent breakups. Well, especially Safe Word.
Were these expectations like set at the beginning of your relationships?
I think we both thought we set expectations, but the way we communicated it, it meant different things to us in our heads.
Like what?
For example, he was calling me a primary partner to people. Huh? And to me...
Sorry,
that,
what?
Right. No. To me, that means you... I'm some type of priority in your life, right? If I'm a partner of that level. But he didn't necessarily treat me that way. So it was weird because the way, I mean, his words didn't align with his actions, which should have been a red flag to begin with, but I was stigmatized. So.
You were very stigmatized. It was actually incredible to see.
And it's interesting because I have this note too. I have a lot of notes for this episode because I wanted to come in prepared. People might communicate that they are looking for one thing or one type of E&M relationship structure, but then you might learn that that isn't the case. A lot of the times people don't actually know what they want. I think that's the case for a lot of people in the E&M world.
Well, also it's like not, if we're not coming into it with a lot of experience, it's something that you kind of have to learn by trial and error.
True. Yeah, I mean, but it really does depend person to person.
So what about the other two? How did they fuck up? Let's start with Lily. Lily's partner is here, so
yes, I think I'm being watched.
There's monitoring happening.
No, I think with Lily it was, I think in a lot of ways, and I told Lily this, I was really excited about that specifically because I'd never actually been in a long-term relationship with a woman, and I think I placed a lot of pressure on that because I was like, this is the first time a girl has been consistent with me in any way, shape, or form. I'm so excited. But yeah, I think that specific partnership was a lot of me building up the fact that it was with a woman in my head. More so than actually figuring out what that relationship actually was.
Do you think you were the one to break relationship expectations for that one?
To do what?
To break, like, the relationship expectations.
I don't think expectations were necessarily set. But also, I don't think... that probably was the issue. But also, I mean, Lily was my first polyam experience, really. Because Podcast God, that's, you know, PG and I had been open and we had physically been with other people, but we hadn't had anything consistent with anyone ever before. So Lily was really my first experience with that. So, I mean, I'm sure that was part of it too. I didn't know what I wanted.
Do you know what you want now?
Yeah, I think.
Consistency.
I think I want a partner that, whoever my next serious partner is, I think I desire someone that can be pretty much equivalent to my relationship with Podcast God.
That's a lot of pressure.
I mean, not equivalent in every way, obviously, but in terms of the depth of the relationship and in terms of like being romantic and everything, I think that's important to me too. And it's not necessarily important to everyone that dates non-monogamously, but to me it's, I mean, I'm an emotional human as much as I hate to admit it and can't process it. And I get attached to people more than they get attached to me a lot. Especially, I mean, even friends, honestly. Like, I am very...
Oh, that explains a lot about college. Whoops.
No, I care a lot about people. And, I mean, that's one reason I really appreciate how Lily and I's relationship has changed. Because I can tell she does give a fuck about me, even though we're not partners anymore. And that's not very common, I feel like. Not a lot of people can do that and actually... continue caring about people.
To the same degree, I would say.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, I've definitely have transitioned romantic relationships to friendships. And I would say, like, Bagel is the only one. Like,
yeah.
And it's because we dated for 3 years and we were, like, very intimately entwined.
Yeah.
With, like, everything in life.
Yeah.
And then some are like, oh, we're acquaintances and we'll like say happy birthday once a year and then we don't talk ever again.
Yeah. Here's a question. Are polyam breakups more complicated than
monogamous breakups? Should we talk about my
breakup? We probably should, actually. All right. Moving on to Shay. Tell us about... Oh, you have updates for me.
I think you should read the last text message that Mugshot sent you.
Oh, yeah. The
for breakup? Entertainment value. Oh, God. So this is the third breakup.
I have to scroll back quite a bit. I forgot I deleted the text message thread so I'd stop looking at it and being sad.
Damn it. Did you screenshot it to me?
No, I think I read it to you or showed it to you when we were in person. But it was essentially... So
phrase it.
It was paraphrase. I'll paraphrase. It was along the lines of... So, okay, let me set the scene. We've been dating for a few months. We were talking pretty much every day. We were hanging out pretty much about once a week consistently. And we had a date planned for, I think it was a Sunday. We were supposed to be hanging out on a Sunday night. I was supposed to go over to his house and he was going to cook dinner for us. And I mean, it was like a whole evening plan. I was
supposed to hang out with his very elderly cat. Yeah.
I was supposed to come over around the afternoon. And Saturday night at like 2 a.m. going into Sunday, I get a text.
Wow, he did this with like less than 24-hour notice. Yeah,
which is the rudest part, I think. And he just said, hey, he didn't even cancel the date officially. He just said, hey, I don't think this relationship is going to work out right now. I don't have the bandwidth for you right now.
What a fucking finance, bro.
I don't think capacity
for you right now. My workload is too
heavy. Right, pretty much. Yeah, he said bandwidth. That was his exact phrasing. He said, I don't have the bandwidth for you right now. So, yeah, sorry.
Bitch ass.
And then I texted him back and was like, I feel like I deserve more of an explanation than that. Like, we've been pretty involved in each other's lives. Nothing. And then he unfollowed me from Instagram. Unfollowed
you on Instagram. Like, multiple weeks later, too.
Yeah. No, he sent me a meme and then he liked a couple of my posts and then unfollowed me weeks later. So, who knows? Who knows what's happening?
He followed me.
Oh, yeah. And then he
Which is very funny.
He also, because I'm a creep and I've been watching his Instagram, he keeps posting stories about how depressed he is and that he needs to go to therapy, but instead he's getting new tattoos. So there's that.
Explains a lot.
But yeah, that's how that ended. So never got closure.
You're never going to get closure.
Yeah.
Closure is writing angry songs and posting them online.
That's my closure.
Mm-hmm.
That's my closure. Stay tuned. You've done that a few times. Enemies to lovers. So back to you.
So mine was a bit similar to like your last one with Mugshot, actually. We started dating in January and then there was no official breakup. We had been like very consistent with like weekly dates, talking every day. I'm not even someone who needs to text someone every day. It was just like a precedent that happened and like, it wasn't like talking all the time either. It was just like, oh, here's my word or school score, which he consistently killed me at. But and then he and his primary partner.
Who's his wife?
His wife. They decided to get divorced.
Because?
And well, okay. At this point, they separated and they were going to couples therapy about the fact that she decided that she no longer wanted to identify as bisexual, that she was now like going to identify as like a lesbian, which, you know, causes problems in a heterosexual marriage.
It can.
Yeah. So they separated. He had told me ahead of time that he's like, well, we're separating. I might like pull back a little bit. You might have to like cajole me a little bit to like do things and stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool, fine. Like, thanks for the heads up. And then I did that. I tried to do that. And at some point, like, none of my text messages were getting returned. Like, mm-hmm. I kept texting and I got like one sounds word answers.
Like my situation.
Or he would reply like 3 days later, mm-hmm. or like worse.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, he's going through a lot. Like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then I gave it like a month, mm-hmm. or two. I don't remember how long. Actually, I think I asked you for both.
You did.
Where I was like, okay, like, I understand that you're going through a lot, but like, what, how?
And side note, sorry to interrupt, yeah. but I just want to say this because I will forget it because ADHD brain. I think that's one thing that a lot of people that are E&M need to work on in general, just consistently be working on, including myself, is being able to compartmentalize relationships enough that obviously you're going to be affected if something's happening with another partner, but don't let it affect you so much that you just completely stop being in your other partner's lives or just are shitty to them. I feel like there's a way to balance being upset about something else, but also still having the ability to continue connections with other people, you know, which I don't think he did successfully.
No, I thought, well, this was also like my first polyamorous relationship. So I was sort of like,
yeah, but he was a dick to you.
Yeah. I was like, where's the ethical part in here?
Right.
I think right. I would have been fine with the situation if he had said upfront, like, hey, we're breaking up. Yeah. Or like, I, instead of like whatever the slow fade was.
Right.
And then I texted him and I was like, yo, I'm not cool. Like, crisping up on your back burner, like, mm-hmm. understanding you're going through a lot. But like, if you're at the point where like you cannot make any time for me, like, mm-hmm. I don't think we should stay together.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's fair. I'm sorry for how it ended. And I'm like, yeah, full control of that, buddy. But all right. And then we were like, okay, we'll stay friends. We'll see what happens.
How long after this breakup did you meet up recently?
Well, it never felt like an official breakup.
Right.
Because it kind of just felt like, you're kind of just ignoring me.
Yeah.
And I'm not cool with this.
Right.
So I never felt like it was like a true breakup. It was just like, oh, okay, this is how it is, I guess.
Yeah.
He also stated at some point when I made the final decision to be like, okay, let's not do this right now, is when he was like, I'm not actually sure if I'm poly or not anymore.
Yeah.
And then we met up like 3 months later after our last in-person meetup, mm-hmm. like our last in-person date.
Yeah. And this was like a couple weeks ago, right?
This was a couple weeks ago. We actually met back up for his birthday. He told me during this meetup that he is now monogamous. He now wants children.
Mm-hmm. Which he didn't before.
He didn't before. It's not like I was necessarily planning to like want to have kids with him or anything because I don't want kids myself. But it was like nice to know that like this partner is potentially getting like a vasectomy and stuff. And like, I don't have to worry about that. But there was that. And then now he's like, I want kids now. I just blah, blah, blah. And then now he's also dating a new person, which is so fun.
And she's not Kiki. No, she's
married. Oh, yeah. He also decided to leave the kink world. So there was a lot of like 180s happening. I totally cried after that meeting because I was just like, am I the like weirdo for like,
I'm sure that's wanting an ego these things? Punch. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was also like, shit, am I ever going to find another partner? Like, I made dating so exponentially harder for myself.
Yeah,
by,
I'm
like,
sure.
Being poly and by not wanting kids and, like, all these other things.
Yeah.
You at least want kids.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I want kids. That's a strong statement.
There are a lot of men who want kids.
I feel like I'm not completely opposed, but I'm not trying to have kids either, you know?
Enemies to lovers.
So I know you mentioned that was really like a gut punch / existential polyam moment.
Oh, I had an existential crisis.
Should I be all of these things? And I mean, that's one of the reasons for this podcast is there. I mean, obviously there's some media out there showing us that this can be a way you live and it's okay. And there are people that do it successfully, but there still isn't enough, especially not in the mainstream world. So
a lot of it's also like very educational. I'm not right. Like, hey, here is us trying to figure out poly and fucking up in the process.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of it is people that have been E&M for years or...
They only talk about like the bright sides of it. Because I understand normalizing the positive experiences of poly, especially when you're fighting the mainstream. But
Yeah.
You kind of also talk about the shitty parts.
Yeah.
Which is like,
And that's why we're here. You can maybe have
3 breakups in 1 month.
Yeah. And for you, it's different because you don't have a primary partner. What is his nickname?
Bagel? He can be croissant because he was flaky as shit.
Ah! There he goes. There are the one-liners. This is why you're here. So croissant basically played the role of your primary partner while you were together, right?
Yeah. I was still dating.
Yeah.
I like was going on dates, I mean, but I never.
You can have other partners.
That's why we're here. I never like wanted to get into like deeper relationships with any of them. Mm-hmm. So I was just sort of like, well, you're kind of like.
Right. He was your main person at the time.
He was my main person. I was clearly a secondary. Right. Because he's married. Yeah. But was married. But overall, it was very much like, I am cool having just like one main partner and kind of dating on the side. But like, yeah, it kind of sucks when you're like, oh, I don't have not necessarily like a fallback, but there's no like.
There's no safety net.
There's no safety net to like normalize the fact that like you're not a weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like if you had 3 breakups, at least Podcast God is there to be like,
hey, you don't suck.
You don't suck. You'll find another partner. I'm here. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. When you lose your primary, like only partner, you're sort of like, I'm going to be alone and die for.
Yeah, it's different for sure.
Not that I necessarily went that far off the rails. It was just sort of like, I can see why it's such a gut punch to be like, oh, I'm like single and poly again.
And it's interesting too, because both of us didn't really date a lot when we were younger adults. Because, I mean, my partner, my primary and I have been together since high school. So I really haven't dated as an adult until recently. And you had been in a couple of longer term relationships, right? Up until
I've been in like medium term relationships.
Yeah. But still, you weren't dating around a ton up until recently, right?
I would go on like one date wonders.
Yeah.
Or like 2-date wonders where it's like, oh, actually, you have a bunch of problems. Never mind.
Yeah, at least you can tell. My problem radar is non-existent. So I guess the question is, are polyam breakups more complicated than monogamous ones?
I would say depends, I think.
I think
it depends on how it ends.
Yeah, I think for the most part, it's the same emotions. You go through a lot of the same things. Obviously, the situation can, depending on how intertwined you are.
See, the thing is, I was the one to break up with all my former monogamous partners.
Yeah, so you have nothing to compare to there.
Yes, Croissant was the first one to actually break up with me. Well, yeah. He never actually said the words, I'm breaking up with you. I just had to make that jump myself.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, you're a fucking bitch ass. Like, are you kidding me? He told me recently, like during that meetup, that like he was sorry for how he treated me. And I was like, would you have eventually actually broken up with me? He's like, I think so. I'm like, okay, sure you were.
That reminds me of another ex I had. That
you know how to pick them and they're never hot enough to deal with us.
Hey now. She's a hottie.
No.
Another ex I recently had that Shay is not a fan of. She basically ghosted me very rapidly after having a very intense relationship.
She did the AFAB like ghosting where they sent like 2 paragraphs. Lesbianing.
Yeah, like super, super intense. Paragraphs being like, hey, I'm trying to figure out what's happening. Because she was in the middle of separating with her partner at the time. Now they're back together.
And you fucked her partner.
And we had a threesome with him. But, yeah. And then that was a whole thing. He talked about how guilty he feels because she did that to me. And it's not even his doing. But she still hasn't talked to me. It's messy.
In my opinion, metas have nothing to do with how your partner treats you.
Exactly. It's an individual relationship you have with a person. If you have a relationship with a meta, if you're friends with them, that's great. But they're not affecting how that person actually treats you or how you treat them.
If you can't like compartmentalize to that degree, like you should not do poly, in my opinion. Just because like, I don't know. I'm like, of course your like meta's actions will affect your partner and you can support them in that. But like, it's not my relationship.
Yeah.
It should not be affecting my relationship. Yeah. Unless, exactly. Like, you're just very, very bad at poly.
Yeah. So another interesting question. Do you get FOMO after a breakup?
With, like...
Whether it's seeing FOMO. That person hanging out with people, you know, on social media or whatever, and missing them, wanting to be a part of that. And also in terms of, for me, for example, I currently only have one partner, and I see other people that have multiple partners, and I do kind of have FOMO. I'm like, hey, I was there, I had that, and now I don't anymore, and that sucks.
I'm not sure FOMO as much as I'm sort of like interrogating the reasons why the breakup happened.
And it's still pretty fresh for you.
It is relatively fresh, especially because I don't feel like I ever got like real closure from it. Neither did you. You didn't get closure from like
most of the recent
two of them. Two of the four.
Three.
We're including U-Haul Girl.
U-Haul Girl, Mugshot, Safe Word. I would say those three I didn't get closure from.
You technically broke up with Safe Word, though.
Yeah, but also I thought we were going to stay pretty good friends and continue hanging out, and that did not happen. Because he made it sound like that.
Yeah, they lie.
Yeah. And then every time I was like, hey, you want to do this? You want to hang out and do this? We used to go to comedy things together, open mics, because he does comedy as well. Every time I try to get him to come out with me somewhere, he just wouldn't be free magically.
Yeah, Croissant also said he wanted to stay friends. But at the end of our hangout, he said goodbye, which is a very rare thing to do in my opinion. Imagine if I just left every like friend hangout with goodbye. That's goodbye. So formal. Actually, I think that's when I realized our relationship was crumbling, was when he started texting me like a business memo. He was like, salutations. Bullshit.
Salutations, my dear.
Salutations. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah. Regards.
Best regards. Comma. Oh, yeah. I totally felt the, like, best regards vibe.
Oh, God. Best regards vibes are the worst vibes. You don't want best regards vibes.
I think it's just sort of, like, I was really into him. I thought he had, like, everything I would want in a partner. So it's just sort of, like, damn. I didn't hold on to that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even my own damn fault. Yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of like, I did call him out when we met up. Yeah. And I was like, was that an experiment? Because I feel kind of exploited a little bit. Yeah. And he's like, you weren't an experiment in the moment. And I was like, you told me that like you were poly because your wife made it a stipulation to be poly to stay together.
Yeah.
And he's like, I understood it on like a logical level. I'm like, that's not cool. That's so not cool.
So here's my question. Do you feel like you got closure from that last meetup, or do you feel like you still didn't get closure?
I think I got closure in that like I realized there's nothing I could have done to make him change his mind, considering that he flipped all his fucking values.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm a traditional Mormon man again.
Well, what kind of Mormon?
We'll find out.
The monogamous guy.
But yeah, he said we'll stay friends, but I highly doubt that. Yeah. Like, he's never once texted
that's
me in the past
thing that
like
annoys
3 months.
I feel like first, if you legitimately don't think that you can be actual friends with an ex, just tell them that. Don't set that expectation.
I have never once told an ex that we're gonna stay friends and like did not try to stay
friends. I'd rather say we're not going to be friends, and then if something organically happens and we continue talking, great. Then neither of us are disappointed. You know,
it's just sort of the like, they just want to feel like a better person, I think.
Right. But it just makes it feel shittier for the other person.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree. End.
So how do you convince yourself to get back into dating after heartbreak? Like, I know it's easy to lose faith in people when shit like that happens. I mean, in this moment, how are you feeling about dating? I know you've kind of gone back and forth about, do you even want to date right now?
I am ambivalent to the idea of dating right now. It's not really in terms of like, oh, I am so disillusioned, I'm never going to try dating again. It's just sort of like, I have other shit in my life going on, and I need to focus on those things. And I don't think I will have the time or energy to give to someone that I would want to receive. Because, like, I can't really complain about, like, how I got faded at the end if I'm essentially doing that to other people, too.
True, yeah.
What I dislike currently about my situation is that I will put a very upfront expectation of, like, hey, this is just a hookup. Mm-hmm. This is going to be super casual. We're, like, acquaintances with benefits. and they get super attached.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I told you that it was not gonna go anywhere.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Cause like I don't know about you, but I put like a lot of value into upfront expectations.
For sure, yeah.
And like it's fine if they change with time, but like you cannot unilaterally change it.
Yeah. I think also podcast god said to mention relationship autonomy. We don't know what that is, so we're just gonna let you Google that, podcast listeners.
Which is
good
funny
luck.
Because podcast god did not know what compersion meant, but knows what relationship autonomy yeah. means.
He's a fascinating man. Do you think
Google it?
We'll do it in another episode. We'll come back to that. Do we think that polyamory brings more, less, or equal heartbreak to monogamy as a dating style?
I think because the dating pool is smaller, every single breakup feels like one less opportunity.
That's true. That's a good point.
It feels like a lot more like, well, shit.
Right. I finally found a person more. That aligns with me in so many ways, and they're, you know, ethically non-monogamous, and I'm attracted to them, and now this isn't going to work. Yeah, for sure.
Right. So I would say that because the pool is smaller, it feels more like,
it's a harder hit when it doesn't work out.
But I would say in terms of like value set and like how I want to run my life, like just because the breakup ends does not mean I want to run back to monogamy.
Yeah.
Because I did seriously reconsider. Mm-hmm. Well, not reconsider. When Croissant told me that he was going back to monogamy and he wanted kids and he wanted all the traditional value stuff, I was like, am I the fucking freak? And then I thought about it, I'm like, no, actually, this is how I want to live my life.
Yeah.
Even if it means I'm single for the rest of my life.
Proud
if
of
I
you.
Don't like find someone who hits those points.
Yeah, and hits.
Because they're deal breakers. Like, I cannot, no way I can like talk myself out of it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is just who I
and
am.
And that goes
now.
Back to the idea of, I think a lot of people that are ethically non-monogamous just are that way. I think for some people, it's just hard to be monogamous because that's just not how you operate with love. And that's okay. But you have to acknowledge that and get past society's shame of that.
I think there are two ways that you realize that you're not monogamous. Is that you either cheat. Please listen to our episode about Alex cheating. And
we're just
going to
bring
stories.
This up in every episode. Yes.
Inger did that. And then, or you're seromonogamous, which is what I was.
Yeah.
So, in reality, it's been kind of nice to be, like, purely single.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, I'm not going to compromise on these deal breakers.
Yeah, you can reevaluate a lot of things, too, while you're
hanging out. If only men will get the clue, too, because seriously, how can I be more clear about, like, hey, we're not going to do this is not going to turn serious. Yeah. And then they're blowing up my phone. Help me.
I cannot help you. All my male friends are in love with you at this point. So I can't help you. I'm only
are
making
any
it
of
worse.
Them cute?
You know them. Most of them.
Enemies to lovers.
So I guess to wrap it up, how do we deal with the big sad? Like, how do you get past, how do you process things? How do you, obviously we talked about me, I write angry songs and it works. But what do you do?
I like to bitch about them to my friends.
Yeah.
I think that helps a lot. Especially if you bitch about their new partners.
Also therapy.
Which is what you've done too.
Yeah.
It's like a little validating. No, I don't recommend it as being part of being a good person, but like... As long as you're not insulting the person to their face, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, also in a more positive light, doing something you are passionate about and having things like this podcast, having projects to focus on and work.
Journaling
and goals,
is a big one.
Yeah, things that you can focus your time on other than sitting around being sad is super
cuddle
helpful.
Your cats.
Yeah.
I also think in general, just be like.
Or your podcast co-host.
Just swipe through a dating app. See what's out there.
I feel like that makes me more depressed. I don't know about you. I'm just like, wow, there's nothing out there.
No. What you have to do is swipe with a friend so you can make like comments as you go and it becomes like a comedy show instead of like, oh, this is my, these are my options. Highly recommend swiping with a friend.
I do not.
Or you can help a friend swipe on their dating app, especially if they're monogamous. It's really funny.
Yeah. I think kind of my last thought about it all is it's important to get a community around you that gets it, whether that's going to things like Kink Munches and meeting other polyam or ENM people, or just keeping up with your exes that are now your friends. I don't know. Just having people you can talk to that get it is super helpful with the healing process.
It's important to process your emotions too. How's that going?
We're working on it. Okay. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Take your meds.
Take your meds, friends.
Take your meds, kids.
So we're...
So one resource we have is called The Polyamory Breakup Book by Kathy L. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
I bought and now refuse to read because it was recommended to me by one of my recent exes. Mugshot.
Do you think that was foreshadowing on his
maybe
part?
I don't know if that was him hinting or just because at that time I had had another couple of breakups already, so I thought he was just trying to help.
I feel like if this was intentional on his part, that's so
was that his way shitty? Of telling me he wanted to break up, because that's
he's just like, I am preparing you.
He's like, if you read this book, then like it'll be better when I actually break it up. No, I don't know. But I mean, I hear it's a great book from my ex. I don't know.
Well, clearly he didn't use anything from it.
Right. If he read it, it didn't help.
Did not use anything from it.
Yeah. Enemies to lovers. We love sharing our polyam and ENM journeys with others. Thank you for listening.
We hope our pain was amusing. Please leave a review on whatever you use to listen to podcasts and tell your friends to check us out because we're hot and we're suffering.
Yes. Help us.
Help.
Hit subscribe to join the community and tune in next week for the next episode.
You can also follow us on Instagram and leave us a message at Enemies to Lovers Podcast.
The number two, not the word.
Not the word.
Our email is thesamehandle@gmail.com.
A big thank you to our producer, the
podcast God. And if you're going through a breakup, whether it's polyam or not, reach out. Tell us how you're doing. You are loved. You are beautiful. And someone else will come into your life and appreciate your amazingness.
Or you can enjoy being single, because that's pretty fun too.
And that's a wrap. We were enemies. Enemies to lovers. As always, thank you, friends, for listening. Please leave a review on Spotify or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Here are some bloopers. And the bloopers for this episode are actually leftover bloopers from episodes 4 and 5 with our guests, Alec and Marcella. We just had so many hilarious moments. We could not show these to you. So if you haven't watched those episodes yet, definitely go back and take a look or a listen. But here are some bloopers. Enjoy.
Enemies to lovers.
So anal.
Titties and drama.
Yeah, you're the Joe titties. Rogan of polyamory.
Do it really.
Wait, what?
Cheap.
They're organizing an orgy.
No, we're actually talking about Christmas presents. So we had a cat for 2 days, and he has had polydactyl thumbs.
Smelled like bubblegum.
Smelled like bubblegum. Made no sense.
Cats do that. Some cats do that.
The cat would wake up and wake us up in the middle of the night going to the bathroom. And so I closed the bathroom door before I went to bed. And then Marcella went to the bathroom in the middle of the night, left the bathroom door open, but the cat had already been slighted.
Oh, no.
And so I wake up and this cat's on my chest. And I'm like, this is so sweet. The cat's sitting here on my chest. It's all warm. It's so nice and warm. It's really, really warm. And I realize, oh shit, this cat is pissing on me. I wake up, the cat is sitting on my chest, looking into my eyes, pissing on me. And I was like, we don't have a cat. Who wants it?
The cat has a very good home now.
Okay. But
I actually really do like cats, just not one. A what?
A lawyer.
What? Liar. I wake up horny though. So that's like
every day.
Every day.